This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Through the Ringer. I'm your host, Tate Frazier. It is Tuesday, so you know what that means. The Ringer's very own Kevin O'Connor is here in studio. KOC, good to see you, man.
Great to see you, Tate. Happy NCAA tournament starting up.
Best time of the year. Got my Carolina Blue on. The Tar Heels are in the Sweet 16.
In L.A. We're going to be
there. In L.A., yeah. At crypto.com. It's going to be a lot of fun. Also, Duke is in the Sweet 16. Mm-hmm. NC State's in the Sweet 16. Clemson's in the Sweet 16. A lot of talk about how bad the ACC is, KOC. 1/4 of the Sweet 16, so not that bad. So,
not bad at all.
Yeah, and I know you're watching these games, so for all the NBA people out there that don't support March Madness, KOC is an ally. We appreciate him. But we got to talk NBA because that's what we do here on the show. And we start, like we always do, with some trends. Let's get to our trends for this week. And KOC, the first one for you is Jalen Green for real. Let's start there.
Yeah, with Jalen Green, he is taking over for the Houston Rockets, who right now they're one game back from the Warriors in the loss column for the 10 seed in the Western Conference play-in tournament. So we're not talking about some team making a run for a top seed in the West. Mm-hmm. If they end up making the playoffs out of the play-in, they get smoked in the first round by Denver or Minnesota or Oklahoma City. That we know for sure. But with the Houston Rockets, I do think they're worth talking about here, considering the fact that the team they'd be knocking out is the Warriors, mm-hmm. and the fact that the player who's helped leading this charge is a player that could help be part of their very bright future as the Rockets. Jalen Green, over his last 13 games, is averaging 28 points per game, shooting over 40% from three, shooting nearly 70% on unassisted shots in the half court at the rim. He's dominating in every facet. He has a positive assist-to-turnover ratio. Mm. He's playing better defense than he ever has. Jalen Green, he's got a kid coming. He looks like a guy that's turned the corner on the court. He's playing motivated basketball. And the Houston Rockets are absolutely flourishing right now as an overall team. They're playing great defense with a switch-everything scheme right now. They have the Jabari Smith, and they got Amen Thompson, mm-hmm. and Dylan Brooks, and Fred VanVleet, and Jalen Green, a five-man lineup that's been dominating. And also, on the offensive end right now, with Jalen Green, I'm buying it. Like, the question is this for real with him? Is this just a hot streak? But with his numbers from three-point range right now, Tate, he's an 80-plus percent guy from the free throw line. He has been since he was playing in the G League, since he was in high school. I think the shot's just starting to click for him. He's taking better quality shots. And those tough shots that he's always taken, I think this is a guy who is starting to actually really figure things out. I'm buying it.
I like that you're buying it. And I will say, Jalen Green, we've seen a lot of headlines off the court, but it's nice to see headlines on the court. And this is the Jalen Green that, you know, there was an argument that he should have been the number one pick, right? When he and Cade were both coming out and there was a discourse about those two guys. And then both guys have had, you know, their own sort of issues and they've also had their own bright spots. So it is good to see Jalen Green playing good basketball. You got Ime Udoka there. You got a nice kind of foundation there in Houston. And now we're going back to like the 2018-2019 season when it comes to terms of this win streak. So they're on the right path and like a successful path, which it did not look very bright. It looked bleak for a couple years there.
For sure. I mean, like, they've really had three straight really terrible seasons. And I think, like, ever since James Harden forced his way out, it's been bad for Houston. But ultimately, this is why sometimes these high picks can be so valuable. You have Şengün, who this year has blossomed into a star. And he goes out. It looks like this devastating injury. It turns out it's a grade 3 ankle sprain, and he could be back by the end of the regular season or in the playoffs if Houston ends up making it. And now you have Jalen Green exceeding. And, you know, that does naturally raise the question, is Green doing this now, does that make Şengün a Ewing theory candidate, you know, to pull from a Bill Simmonsism, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think so. With Green, this started out prior to the Şengün injury. He had three or four pretty awesome games, no different than he has ever since the Şengün injury. I just think this is a team that's clicking. If you look at OKC last year, to me, that's Houston this year. Mm-hmm. Houston is a team that is starting on that trajectory where next year they build on this with Şengün, with Jalen Green, and that's why that makes them so interesting to me for the remainder of this regular season. They are right on the heels of the Warriors right now, and the Warriors are a team that have, despite all their struggles, despite some guys being absent, despite the Draymond suspension, they should be better than they have been. And Houston might actually steal that spot from them when they are playing at the level that they are right now and set themselves up for, you know, a positive end to the regular season, enter the summer with flexibility and assets. They could be a team that builds on this moving forward. I'm a believer in Houston, man. I've always like supported Jalen Green. I've really questioned him this year. He was terrible at certain points this season, but what we've seen the past month or so, this just feels like the guy that people imagine him that he could someday be coming.
Yeah, I like it. My trend, you talk about a team that they're on the heels of, that is the Golden State Warriors. Steve Kerr came out, he said, "We have been riding the Curry Express for over a decade, and we want to rest him a little bit." Steph Curry was on the bench in that fourth quarter, and he said, "Wait, what is going on here?" So what are our thoughts on this trend, that Steve Kerr is trying to rest Steph Curry and kind of preserve him at some level? How do we feel about this?
They just look like a team that doesn't want it, right? I mean, you got Jalen Green and Fred VanVleet playing 35, 36 minutes tonight for Houston ever since Şengün went down. They are going for it. At Golden State, you got Steph and Draymond playing, you know, 30, 31 minutes per game. Your team needs to play his best players. And Kerr, after that game, like you said, he like wants to rest him. He's like, it doesn't make a difference if he's playing 30 minutes or 33 minutes. It's like, actually, it does.
Yeah.
Every minute counts when you barely lose that game by just a couple of points. I just don't feel like the Warriors are in that mode yet where they're going all in on wins. Maybe they feel like on their side of things now that there's no hope this year anyway. And you know what? There's not. Because even if you do get out of the play-in, if you're the 10th seed and you win two games on the road to get the 8th seed, odds are if you're Golden State, you're getting smoked in the first round. But the fact is that you still are riding Stephen Curry. You still feel like you get a shot anytime you get a player of his caliber. You have to go for it. And at some point, I'd love to see Kerr just start playing Steph 35, 36 minutes. I'm sure he'd be happy to play that much. He wants in.
Yeah, it does feel like Steph does want to play those minutes. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But that is a trend to keep an eye on. The Lakers are doing the opposite of that. They are going to ride LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. Sounds like Darvin Ham is saddling up. And then we got Draymond doing AT&T commercials for March Madness. So, you know, maybe the Warriors' heads are somewhere else. Let's do some weekly awards. We love doing this on the show. And let's get there now, because your first superlative for this week, KOC, is Bummer of the Week. This is the first bummer we've had on the show. Let's start there.
My bummer of the week is Darius Garland with the Cleveland Cavaliers. And the reason being, the Cavaliers right now, they aren't just they haven't just lost their chances of getting the 2 seed and taking that from the Bucks. The Bucks are going to run away with the 2 seed. The Cavs are in danger in falling from the 3 seed. They could fall to the 6 seed. There's only a few games of separation between them at 3 and the 6. So for Cleveland, they've had this promising season despite guys missing time, but right now their best player, Donovan Mitchell, is out. And Darius Garland is the guy that needed to lift this team up. He has not done that. Mm-hmm. He's averaging close to 20 points per game. He's shooting around 40% from three. He has a, you know, 6 assists to under 3 turnovers per game. These are good, solid point guard stats. But Mitchell's out, and your team needs an energizer, where your offensive rating without Mitchell ever since he went down in late February is 26th in the league. You need to be better than that. And with Garland, you're a guy in the first year of a $200 million contract. You're getting paid $34 million this year. The numbers he's putting up, he has not elevated his play in the ways that the Cavaliers need him to. And if he continues to play at this level with Mitchell out, like I said, they might slip from the 3 seed. They might lose home court advantage. The Knicks could surpass them. they could even get fall all the way to six. So I think for Cleveland, it's a bummer that they're in this place, but it is showing more than anything else how important Mitchell was to this team.
Yeah, it was one of those things where we felt like we weren't talking enough about the Cavaliers when they were playing so well early in the year, and now we're in a situation where they are the bummer of the week. But I think Garland can get it together. I'm going to give you one KFC trick of the week. Derek White of the Boston Celtics versus Benny the Bull of the Chicago Bulls. There was a moment while they're announcing the starting lineups. Derek White was called over. We got the video right here. He's called over to Benny the Bull. He's playing Uno. He wants him to get in on the game. Benny always trying to play some games with people, and he absolutely wrecks him. Look at this. I mean, this, no turns for Derek White. He is out of the game. He loses. Benny the Bull wins. Trick of the week, KOC. I love to see this. Benny the Bull winning the week for us.
And Derek White himself is a winner, too. He was named Player of the Week
right,
on Monday.
Look at that. I mean, good lost for that game, but he won the other game. So
yeah,
that's
good.
Got
triple-double this past week. Derek White's had an absolutely unbelievable season for the Celtics. Good call shaving his head.
Yeah, I think that was a nice move. Also, I mean, you know, TheRinger.com does love Derek White. I feel like he is a beloved son of the website at some level. So there you go. Trick of the week. I got another one for you, KOC. Prospect of the week. If you've been watching March Madness, there was a name on the Duke Blue Devils. I have to give him credit. Jared McCain. He's a freshman. And he was incredible in this game. 30 points against JMU, two shy of Zion Williamson's record, 8 threes in the NCAA tournament. That is a Duke record. And let's just talk about him in general. 0 turnovers as well, KOC. He looks a little bit of shades of Kobe White. I don't want to do a Carolina Duke kind of conversation there, but he's got a clip, KOC, and this guy can really shoot.
That's an interesting comparison there, Tate. I actually really like it. I'm going to have to add that to my draft.
Please, shades of Kobe White.
But with McCain, like we talked about him last week, as a guy that could raise his draft stock in the tournament. Well, a performance like that where you're hitting a diverse array of shots off the dribble, off of movement, at the rim, showing your ability to be crafty at the basket. The versatility that he has and the intelligence he has as a decision maker on top of it, he looks like a guy that could end up the best guard in the draft. I think this is a year where most of your pluses and minuses and like your evaluation of the player's skill set is pretty much complete by now. But I do think we're entering a phase where it's time to reevaluate how you order these guys up and stack them up together. And with McCain, he has so many translatable skills to the NBA. He may be rising quickly up my board as well.
Yeah, I said it to you, KOC. I would think I would take him over Reed or Rob right now just based on what you've seen. But again, Houston will be a good test in the Sweet 16. They got some great guard play. All right, last superlative. This is coming from you, KOC. Take of the week. What was it?
Well, I mean, this morning I woke up and saw Greeny.
You got up.
Over at
ESPN. Got to watch Get Up.
Go over on ESPN. He said, you know, he thinks UConn could make the play-in tournament in the Eastern Conference and make the playoffs.
Wow.
In the East. I think that's silly, Tate.
I think both of us think that's very silly. I do think UConn is very dominant. Grant Hill asked the question during the game, can anybody beat UConn? I think it's a very fair question. But if we put them in the NBA, I think they would have some teams that would beat them. One in particular, my Charlotte Hornets. I think Brandon Miller could go off against UConn. I'm not gonna say anything negative about UConn. I'm just going to give credit to my guy, Brandon Miller. A lot of superstars in the NBA, KOC, and I think that they would fare well against a college team.
I mean, even if it's the lowly, sad Wizards or Pistons in the East. The Pistons, you got Cade Cunningham averaging, you know, 25-plus points per game in less than ideal circumstances, even though UConn's got a lot of potential NBA guys, even the ones who aren't first-round picks. They got guys like Newton who deserve a shot in the league. Klingon could be a lottery pick. These NBA teams are filled with high-level achieving college prospects, formerly college prospects, who are now grown men in their mid-20s.
The most outstanding player from last year's national championship team, UConn, Adama Sanogo, is playing in the G League.
Yeah.
So that gives you any context as to where we're going there. So I think it was a fun take. I think
it was fun.
It was fun. Take
got
it
us
week.
All talking. Got us talking here on FanDuel TV.
Now let's do something more fun, KFC. You and I love doing this. New kid on the block, and let's throw the graphic up there because we want to talk about a guy from UConn, a nice little segue, Donovan Klingon. He was, they call him Kling Kong, great nickname, and he has been playing some really good basketball, says he feels healthier than ever, dealt with some health stuff throughout the year, kind of came into the season a lottery talent, fell off some draft boards a little bit, but he's looking the part right now.
Oh, absolutely. He's playing the best he ever has. It's been amazing to see the way his trajectory has been last year, not playing a lot of minutes off the bench.
Behind Sanogo.
Absolutely. Right. This year, he starts off a bit slow. He's in the lottery on some boards, maybe mid-first on other boards. And now he's looking like a guy that deserves top 5, 6, 7 conversation, consideration. I think with him, the shot blocking is the key number one skill that everybody's going to talk about. Some of the shots that he blocked over the weekend were just absolutely sensational, playing drop coverage defense, sometimes playing up the touch, helping corral a guy on the way to the rim and block his shots. That goes without saying with him. Offensively, though, the at-rim finishing, his ability to use either hand, the touch, the feel as a passer as well, I think is one of his underrated skills. You think about him in the NBA, you pair him with like a good playmaking guard, you get clinging the ball on the roll. Just imagine, as great as he is with UConn playing with all their pro-level talent, what he'll be someday in the NBA when he's playing off of elite-level guards. I think with Klingon, he's looking like a guy that's a near guarantee to be a long-time successful NBA player. And if he continues ascending on this trajectory, maybe one of the better centers, you know, in the league, one of the 10 or 15 best guys. And that's saying a lot considering the amount of stars we have at the center position.
How high can he go in this draft? I mean, if you were to forecast, like, what is the ceiling? Are we talking like top 5, top 10, lottery? Like, where does he kind of fall in?
I don't think top 5 is out of the question at all. I mean, I really don't. I think you see so many teams right now playing with two bigs. And with him, even though he's, you know, he's still going to grow into his body and get stronger, he's still a very young player. As he fills out, he is the type of guy that, you know, you put him in a series, hopefully against a Jokic or an Embiid, or someday somebody's going to have to battle Wemby with size and toughness in the playoffs. Somebody's going to have to try to overwhelm Chet if you're facing Oklahoma City down the line. So I think with Klingon, you know, granted in high school he shot more threes, he didn't shoot them well. He has not proven he can be a shooter. He's not a guy who spaces the floor for you, and I don't think he will be. He's your interior guy. He's your tough guy. He's your connector. And I don't see why a team wouldn't take him number 5.
I like that. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to do some power rankings with KOC and look at some of these Tuesday NBA games. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one.
Welcome back to Through the Ringer. I'm here with Kevin O'Connor. We have already had a little bit of fun, Kevin, but now we get to do power rankings, which is a lot of fun for you and I. And the power rankings this week, the three teams under the most pressure with 3 weeks to play in the NBA. There's a lot of teams under pressure, but you have three in particular. And let's start with the Philadelphia 76ers. Why are they under so much pressure right now?
They have fallen into the play-in.
There you go.
And you don't want to be facing Boston as the one seed or Milwaukee as the two seed, the two best teams in the conference, when you get Embiid back for just a handful of games at the remainder of the year. You want to get up to that sixth seed. You want to face potentially Cleveland or New York or whoever ends up in that three spot. So for the Sixers, they're under pressure here to get out of the play-in and into a top six guaranteed slot. But also, they're under pressure just overall. You get Embiid coming back from injury, possibly before the end of the month, if not end of the month, early April at some point. You have the pressure of the fact that your team that has consistently fallen short has not gotten out of the second round, and now you're facing this adversity here with Embiid coming back late. They're a team that needs to make a deep run. They have to be a team that takes that next step entering this offseason. So for the Sixers here in the short term, they got to get out of that 7 or 8 spot right now. Like, it is critically important they get out of it.
And how can they get out of it? Is it Maxi that has to step up? I mean, obviously they've made some moves. This year started with the craziness of James Harden trying to force his way out of there. So, like, what is the way for them to get out of the play-in situation?
I mean, it's like, the simple answer is get Embiid back and hopefully Embiid is healthy.
Games,
and hopefully
right.
with Embiid, it is the fact that, like, with him, think about past years with Joel Embiid. He seems like at times he's run out of steam. His offensive efficiency has plummeted in past postseasons. That is in part due to conditioning. It is also in part due to the former offensive system from Doc Rivers, a lack of adjustments. Mm-hmm. Things would run stagnant. This year, what if it could end up a blessing in disguise that he's missed all this time and he's just been working on his body, trying to get back healthy? What if he comes back fresh? Mm-hmm. And what if this is what the Sixers actually needed? And so I think with Embiid, that's the silver lining in all of this. Getting him back is most important of all. But yeah, I think guys like, you know, Maxey's been great. Tobias Harris is somebody who needs to step up. He has not done so.
He's got
to
be the number two guy.
He hasn't been. He's been, you know, it's completely disappointing. Tobias Harris shooting below 30% from three, still hasn't taken a charge in his entire Sixers career. I mean, it is, I cannot imagine the pain I'd feel if I were a Sixers fan watching Tobias Harris.
Yeah, that was a very sliding doors moment in the NBA. We all remember that Max deal, Jimmy Butler right there. We could talk about that ad nauseum. Let's talk about a team that James Harden went to, the Clippers. They were the hot team. Everybody was on top of them. They were excited about what they could be looking into, you know, the playoff picture. Right now, they're reeling a little bit. How do we feel about the Clippers right now?
I mean, for like 2 or 3 months, they looked like one of the best teams in basketball.
Right. You're saying to yourself, Clippers Nuggets, right?
Yeah, and before that, they were okay. And since then, they've been pretty bad. Actually, not just okay, but pretty bad. And so I think for the Clippers, you got Ty Lue talking about how they got to flip the switch. They got to wake up. They got to figure things out. I'd love to see it. I really genuinely would love to see it. I was at the game on Sunday watching Clippers Sixers. They lose to the Sixers team without Joel Embiid. And there's moments you see Kawhi Leonard and you're reminded of his dominance where he can just take games over. Mm-hmm. And in the back of your mind, you're wondering, are they just coasting right now? Are they just kind of, you know?
Dare I say load managing?
Yeah, are they waiting, you know, for the postseason?
Joe Dumars is not going to like that.
Are they doing that? Like, sometimes you just wonder, but at the same time, like, the intensity is not there. It doesn't seem like a team that's totally bought in part, maybe not having Russ's energy. But I'm a bit worried with Harden as well, where it seemed like he fixed things mid-year during that run. He has not been quite the same player, effort-wise on defense, burst-wise on offense, ever since the All-Star break.
Yeah, it's a very fascinating situation because I do really like that team, and we know Ty Lue, when it comes to the playoffs, is a great kind of maestro of the matchup. So I think the Clippers are still in there. Last team that has the pressure, we talked about them a little bit earlier, but the Warriors, obviously, trying to stay in that play-in scenario, trying to at least be involved in the postseason. How do we feel about them right now?
I mean, there's for them, like, you could say, well, no, miss the playoffs and get another high pick. Maybe you do better than James Wiseman before. Right? Maybe you nail a pick, but there's no incentive to miss out on the playoffs of the Warriors. They don't have the rights to their own pick unless it moved into the top four. It is top four protected. But for Golden State, it's like we talked about last segment, Tate. They have to make the playoffs. When you have Stephen Curry still performing at the level that he is, Draymond Green still playing at the level that he is, you have to take advantage of every year. You have to. Mm. And the fact they're even in this spot as a 10 seed is a major disappointment. Obviously, that's largely due to some of the time Draymond Green missed with his own actions. But the fact they're still not climbing with him back, it's terrifying if I'm a Warriors fan.
And what about the summer? I mean, Mike Dunleavy comes in last year, has some good draft picks, Trayce Jackson-Davis, Brandon Podziemski, both those guys have been, you know, obviously contributors as rookies for this team.
Kuminga's coming along. Kuminga's Bob Myers better. Pick. Yeah.
So, like, what is the – if Joe Lacob, you know, light years ahead, if he's looking light years ahead, what is the move? Is it an offseason move, like trying to entice someone to come join Draymond and Steph and see where the chips fall with Klay, depending on how that negotiation goes?
I'd be moving off Klay Thompson. Mm-hmm. That'd be my number one priority, trying to flip him elsewhere or even letting him walk and finding somebody else, unless he's willing to take a major discount, unless he's willing to be a $15, $20 million guy. That's the offensive production that needs to be replaced there. The defensive production as well, because Klay is not the stopper he once was.
Yeah.
So finding a way to upgrade there or allowing him to ease into a bench role.
That's going to be a very interesting offseason there in Golden State. Let's look at some of these Tuesday games. The Warriors will be playing the Heat, so that'll be a fun game to watch if you're trying to get a read on that team. I want to talk about Lakers-Bucks. This is going to be a fun game in Milwaukee. How do we feel about this matchup, and do we expect to read between the lines? A lot of times when the Bucks and the Lakers or teams like contenders play, there's a lot of like game-within-the-game situations that are going on.
I mean, I'm fired up for this game.
Yeah, it'll be good one.
We've talked a lot about the Bucks on this show, and I think with Milwaukee, they've had some ups and downs defensively, but I mean, what they did to Oklahoma City on Sunday was one of those games where if you're looking for reason to believe in the Bucks which we do, as a team that could take down
Boston. I feel
like
Boston. We're outliers in that belief.
I do, and I feel like we are as well. But that's the game to look at with the way they just completely made SGA play his worst game of the season, made Chet play his worst game of the season with their defensive scheme. That's the way I'd expect them to be in the postseason, where they are game planning and making particular decisions on defense to contain an opponent's best players. So I think with this game, we'll see what they do against LeBron and AD. AD, who's been great as well.
Yeah, AD's been great. And I always love that matchup with AD and Giannis. Next game, Thunder Pelicans. You just mentioned the Thunder. Zion, he was my loss of the week, my superlative. He has been playing some great basketball. What do we expect to see in this game?
Got to have a bounce back if you're OKC. Have to have a bounce back after that game against the Bucks. Pelicans have been excellent. They still seem to be performing very well without without Ingram out right now. But that'll be a very fun game between two young teams.
That feels like New Orleans is first, before you watch them, you have to check the injury report, and then you decide if you're going to tune in or not. So this is a good one. Zion will be playing. That'll be a fun Tuesday night of NBA basketball. Nice little break in between the March Madness. KOC, where can we find all your work?
Over at theringer.com. Draft guide at NBADraft.theringer.com.
And it's going to be getting updated all the time. KOC is the best in the business. We appreciate him joining us. Coming up on the other side of the break, we got Cousin Sal joining Through the Ringer, and we'll see you then.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids' session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Welcome back to Through the Ringer, and joining us as he always does on Tuesdays, we survived Las Vegas. He's Cousin Sal. Sal, good to see you. Race 210. Race 210.
I am so relieved to see you. You got back from Vegas in one piece. Yes, we played Race to 10 at the Kimmel Comedy Club, and it was a lot of fun. It still doesn't make sense to me, but bunch of morons pumping their fists, screaming Race to 10 is all I could ask for in life.
It was the best time, and we had a great time. Harry had a great time. Kyle had a great time. Everybody out there had a great time. Shout out to our guy Chris, who was making everything possible, and Michael as well. Yeah. But we get to play my favorite game because we're back in studio. Sal, are you ready for some over-under reactions?
Yeah, my favorite game is Race to 10. This is yours. Let's see if it stacks up and how much we make at the end.
Yeah, speaking of stacks, let's talk about a guy who is stacking up W's. NC State is going to the Final Four. Is that an over or under reaction? The odds right now, plus 1,400. What say you, Sal?
It's an overreaction. But listen, I know you don't like to hear this tape, but Jim Valvano running with no purpose on the hardwood after NC State pulled off that miracle is the single greatest moment in college basketball history. And so the more the Wolfpack we see winning, the more we'll see that highlight. But I think the end is near. They had two tough games to make the Final Four. Kevin Keats did a great job. Texas Tech and Oakland, though, not Marquette and probably Houston. I'm going to say overreaction. I don't think they make it.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point, but Team of Destiny, they play Marquette, who they played in the 1974 title game. If Houston were to win like they're supposed to, that's the 1983 title game. So NC State fans, they have talked themselves into a tizzy about going to the Final Four. So plus 1,400 is there. Next one, Sal.
You know what? Real quick, I don't know if you know, to make it to the NCAA tournament, they had to win 5 games in 5 days. No one's mentioning this. It's kind of went by the wayside. Nobody wants to bring this up.
Right. I haven't heard it. 7 wins in 12 days. A lot of people talking about it, Sal.
It's a lot of math.
Next one, we're going to stay in the NCAA tournament. Zach Edey is somehow the most hated player in the country. Is that an over or under reaction, Sal?
I think it's an overreaction. I think he might have the most hated barber in the country. I'll give him that. But that's about it. I mean, what do you want from the guy? He was born with that body. He has to play basketball. He's Canadian. I don't know. Why would they hate him? I don't think he bothers anyone because he hasn't won enough yet or won really at all yet. Kyle Filipowski, and let's not discount Bronny James. I think they have him beat in the most hated department.
Yeah, a lot of people are upset because they think he's a foul merchant. They think he's only good because he's tall. But if you're 7'4", you're going to be probably good at basketball. But he's making things happen. So, Zach Edey, leave him alone, folks. Next one, yeah. Sal. Gonzaga was toying with us all season and is actually a top five team in the country. Were they playing possum over or under reaction? What say you?
Oh, you know, it might sort of be right on. Maybe an underreaction. One of the few bets I hit, Tate, was Gonzaga to make the Sweet 16.
Love it.
They did play a little possum. They lost 7 games this year, which was like their worst record in 12 years, you know, battling with St. Mary's. Oh, we can't even beat St. Mary's. Look at us. And Mark Few is like, I got this. Put up almost 90 against Bill Self's team. 5 players in double figures the other day. I think they could be a top 10 team. A lot better than their designated fifth seed, let's say that.
And now we get that Gonzaga front court going up against Zach Edey. They have a lot of bigs there, so they have the clientele to give him some problems. Mm. That'll be a fun game.
Oh, I hate that Zach Edey. Oh, no, yeah. I don't hate him. I don't hate him.
That's
oh,
right. Yeah, I think we solved that, right? Let's go to the NBA. Let's go to the professionals. We got to talk about the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors are now a lock to not make the playoffs. Over or under reaction, Sal?
You know, I think it's an underreaction, and I may have put in a bet, Tate, on the Rockets to make the play-in at plus 550 on FanDuel.
I like it.
It's a crazy number. They're, you know, between a game and a half game behind Golden State, who has some flaws, and I know they have flaws because Bill Simmons, the Podfather, lectured us about this from his Porsche, not on a power walk, and that's how you know he's serious, when he actually lets loose in the car. But I feel like Golden State, they've lost 3 out of 4, they're spiraling. And we'll see for sure tonight at Miami is a big game.
Yeah, it's a really big game. We'll be watching. Let's go to the gridiron. Let's talk about the football, NFL. They got new rules. That's what happens this time of year. The swivel hip drop tackle rule is the most confusing rule in all of football, over or under reaction. Just saying that is confusing, Sal.
It is good. I'm going to say under reaction. I'm already confused as to why they passed it. So no one understands this. I've watched clips of examples of the swivel hip drop tackle. It sounds like it should be used in WrestleMania next week, you know? Oh, the Rock! Here comes the Rock with a swivel hip drop on cut. Like, I don't know. What are we going to do? This is going to be such a mess to try to enforce. I think anything with the word swivel should be good to go.
Yeah.
I like swivel. Chairs, yeah, swivel, everything.
Yeah, if you're swiveling, I think it's swivel. A good thing. I don't like when they do the rules that way. So very confusing. We're going to have a hard time. And like you said, that's just what the NFL does. They love putting in new rules. All right.
Yeah.
Sticking in the NFL, Jim Harbaugh does not actually think J.J. McCarthy is the best quarterback in the NFL draft, over or underreaction. He said he was, but of course, the Chargers already have Justin Herbert.
Yeah, this is an underreaction. It is very sweet of him, though, right?
Former yeah, it's nice.
Coaches, yeah, it's like the father who owns a mechanic shop says, oh, no one does an oil change like my boy Jim Bob, when, you know, there's a million guys who could do it. Look, if you really feel that way, Harbaugh, draft him. It's 100-1 odds I saw that the Chargers take McCarthy with their fifth pick. If he is that hot a commodity, forget about the fact that you have Justin Herbert. He'll be worth 3 first-round picks, right? So go get him if you believe in him that much.
Yeah, I think that's a great call. And, you know, rookie quarterbacks, they're better on that rookie contract. So maybe Jim Harbaugh has a master plan there. Last one, Sal, the Birmingham Stallions will win the 2024 UFL Championship. Over or underreaction? I know you're locked in on the UFL.
Let me tell you something right now, Tate. This is an underreaction if I ever heard one. The Stallions, they have the goods. That offense moves the chains. The defense is stout. The coach is a mastermind. They have all the makings of a championship squad. They're going to mow down their competitors. And by the way, if I'm wrong about this, Tate, I vow to not watch a single UFL game in 2025.
Oh, wow. That is a big statement there for the Birmingham Stallions.
Sure
we
is.
Will all be tuning in to see what happens in the spring. The Rock himself will be tuning in as well. Let's call the Riverboat Captain and let's have some fun, Sal. It is March Madness. We are getting to the Sweet 16. So the Riverboat Captain is asking the question, what are the greatest 16s? And we have the odds here. We have the NCAA Sweet 16 is the favorite at 3-1. We got Joe Montana. Joe Montana, of course, 5-1. We got my Super Sweet 16, 10-1. We got 16 candles, 16-1. And we got the field at even odds. Can I get through these 16s? We'll see about that. But Sal, what say you? What is the greatest 16?
It's Montana and candles, right? I think, okay. All right. I think I got this right. This is a tough one, but I'm going to take the field tape because my son Jack is 16. I'm going to pick him as my favorite 16. Here he is. I think that we have a clip of him. I presented.
Yeah, please.
He's pinning his opponent, and then he has the TJ Watt celebration dance, which I could do without that. I'll be honest with you. If you're watching though, Jack, I love you. I'm proud of you. But if you're not watching, I'm going to go with number 16 of the World Championship New York Mets 1986, Dwight Gooden. Dr. K is my man. But again, only if Jack isn't watching. I don't want to get rolled up in the Peterson. That's my pick. What do you like?
Even odds either way. I like that. I feel like if I don't say the NCAA Sweet 16, then I will have to lose my job and give up my seat as the host of One Shining Podcast. So I'm going to go with the favorite. It's not fun to bet the favorites, but the favorites are doing well in March Madness this year. So I'll take the Sweet 16 there at 3-1. So
bet against Montana. Don't do it.
Joe Montana, great linebacker, also a great quarterback. And now, Sal, we get to have some fun where you set the line. So I turn it over to you. Let's let Sal set some lines for us.
Okay, I'm going to set the line at 39.5 over under Tate. The times this week, I will tell someone to shut up about bragging about their Sweet 16 bracket.
Yeah, I think I would take the over there because I know Harry will be around you at some level. So Harry will probably be doing 30 of these braggart moments about his bracket. And I'm going to say the over there. So how do you feel about that? Do you think Harry's going to be the reason for this?
I think the over safe. I've already hit Harry about 15 or 20 times. I have a mental note, but I have it actually written down. Yeah, listen, don't brag about getting 12 right out of, 12 left in your Sweet 16. The top 12 of the 16 seeds advanced. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, right?
Like, I know what
you're saying. Talk to me when there are only two ones left next week at this time, right, Tate? Just everybody chill out for a minute.
Is it worth, Sal, just quickly on this as we're setting lines, is it worth believing or betting on the idea that all the one seeds could make it to the Final Four? We've only seen that one time in 2008. I mean, Houston got, obviously pushed to the brink against Texas A&M. They go to overtime. But otherwise, all the one seeds have looked pretty dominant so far.
They look very solid. I mean, I really like your team. I think UConn's probably the best. They look a little bit like a mini dynasty going. I don't know. I'm Purdue is the one that everyone's shaky on. So I don't know. I don't want to pull a Shannon Sharp and say it's going to be all four ones, but there's a good chance you get two or three in there for sure.
Yeah, it would be a big win for Shannon Sharp at the end of the day. Right. He needs another win. Yeah, so next up, what else you got, Sal?
All right, here we go. Over under 2.5 weeks before SNL introduces a Shohei Ohtani character played by a cast member.
I'm going to say under here. I think this happens ASAP. It needs to happen ASAP. If you've been keeping up with this story, Shohei Ohtani, this is insane stuff. I feel like we have just reached the surface of what actually is going on here. And, you got the comedians in-house there to make something funny. So let's go the under, Sal.
I think you're right. I would separately put odds on Kenan Thompson as the favorite to portray at 9-2. It's going to be a little weird at first, but we'll get used to it. And I think the Shohei character holding a stopwatch, gambling on how long Weekend Update segment will last, is going to be epic. All right, I have a third one here, and it involves a picture. Over under, minus $1,750 lost by this crew in Las Vegas this past week. Here we go. What do you say, Tate? That's a good-looking group right there.
A good-looking group. A lot of shenanigans happening in that picture outside of just us taking a picture. If you know, you know. But I'm going to say over there because Kyle was just putting in parlays on a whim. I have no idea how much money was put in. Harry made me put in a 13-leg parlay that had no chance of hitting. He started putting hockey in. I wanted to do a March Madness bet. So I'm going to take the heavy over here.
I think that's smart. Yeah, Harry, the kiosk actually ran out of ink. Harry was printing up so many parlays there. But yeah, you got me, it's you, it's Mikey Meatballs, it's Harry, it's nephew Kyle, and Jim Cunningham, by the way.
Man.
That's him, our old producer of Against the Odds. Wasn't even supposed to be there. It was supposed to be working, but we had a great time. Gave away thousands of dollars thanks to Jimmy Kimmel Comedy Club. Brace to 10, the stupidest and greatest betting event.
It was a great time, and it made me feel like we have to do it every single year. So hopefully next year we will be out there doing it again. If all things work out, I'm going to knock on wood as I say that. And right now we're going to take a quick break, Sal, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some lines, and we're going to look ahead at those lines. We'll be right back on Through the Ringer.
All right, I'll be here.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower what's next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
Welcome back to Through the Ringer. We're still here with Cousin Sal. And Sal, it's time to look ahead at some March Madness games. We finally made it to the Sweet 16. Are you excited? Feels like a lot of people want to talk about the women's tournament, but the men's tournament, pretty good. A little chalky, but pretty good matchups.
Yeah, it's fine. I'll reluctantly talk about the men's tournament over the women's tournament. I like that your team is in it, Tate. Before we get started, I think your team to win it all is the number one goal. And then if that doesn't happen, what second? NC State to not win? I'm trying to think, like, who are you rooting against the most out of that?
I mean, if Carolina is not going to win the tournament, you know, I like Caleb Love. I like Arizona, Tommy Lloyd, Steve Robinson. So if they had to lose to somebody in the Elite Eight, Arizona, I would pull for them. Whoever you lose to, I think you want to win, because then you can say, man, we lost to the best team, right?
We were second best.
Yeah, right, we were second best. So
right,
we you
have
get
the same
it.
Diabolical mind. That's right. Right.
That, that's how it works. So now we're going to have some fun and do some line look-aheads. But before Carolina can play Arizona, they have to play Alabama, and this is going to be a really tough game. Alabama plus 4.5 in this game. The total 172.5. I would take the over there. But Sal, what say you? What do you like in this game?
Yeah, these overs, man, people are mashing them. I don't think it hit last time with Alabama. I mean, sometimes it looks like they're going to score 200 points, Tate, right? And Grand Canyon did a nice job keeping it close and holding them to 71. I bet on your team to make the Final Four. They overcame a little adversity versus Sparty, right? They were down a little early. You were a little nervous. But you got the nation's 346th ranked defense in Alabama. And if they run up the court and down the court with your guys, I don't think it's going to be good. I think laying the 4.5, I'm also betting over 6.5 F-bombs delivered by you while watching this game. But yeah. I'm taking Carolina.
Yeah, if I'm in the building at Crypto, I think you're looking around 8 or 9, depending on how this game goes. It's going to be a fun matchup. Nate Oates versus Hubert Davis. Mark Sears, the point guard for Alabama, versus R.J. Davis. It's some great matchups. Both teams like to run and gun. I think Carolina is actually going to try to slow the pace down a little bit in this game.
Really?
Just because Alabama, they like to play fast. They like to get as many possessions as possible. And they have better shooters, I would say. Carolina can go in these little lulls, these cold spells. So I think Carolina will run on made baskets. I think they'll run on live ball turnovers, but otherwise they might play a little bit in the half court and watch out for Seth Trimble. So it'll be a good game.
All right, I'm not going to tell you how to coach your team from behind the desk there. They're 16-0 though when scoring 82 more.
Right.
82 or more.
Right. Yeah. I like it. I hope that they can handle business and get a win, but it's going to be a tough game. Last year, Alabama triple overtime game. South Carolina was number one in the country. They kind of swapped spots. Alabama into year number one. So a lot of history between those two teams. It'll be fun to see. Next game, we got Clemson staying out in the West. Clemson versus Arizona. Arizona minus 6.5 in this game. The total 151.5. What do you see here, Sal? Can Clemson and keep the Cinderella run going?
I'm going to do an about face. I'm at least going to take those 6.5 points with Clemson.
I mean, I
didn't like them going into this tournament, but they really beat up Baylor, and I'm not even sure the Wildcats present as many problems as Baylor does, right? I mean, they're pretty big inside, which is the Clemson is, which is what you need against this Cats team. They're a great rebounding team, but Clemson's won 5-1 outright, 5 of the 8 games they've played as underdogs. I think 6.5 is too many for Chase Hunter, who scored 20+, and Brad Brownell's team, I think, puts up a fight at Crypto.
Yeah, and P.J. Hall did not have a good game in that Baylor game. They were able to win without him, which is very encouraging. Chase Hunter, the reason why. Ian Shefflin, a nice piece for this team, has been a nice glue guy, X factor, whatever you want to call him. So Clemson playing some really good basketball, and I think that is that line is a good line for Clemson. Next game, Iowa State, Illinois. This is the number one offense taking on the number one defense. Talk about contrasting styles here. One team wants to run and gun. One team wants to slow it down. Illinois plus 1.5 in this game, the total 145.5. What say you, Sal? What do you see here?
Shout out to our guy, KenPom. You said that. Number one. Number two, Iowa State defense. Illinois, number one in offense. This is kind of where Iowa State gets screwed, right? A little tape, because at least seeding-wise. Because going into this, I felt they should have been the best, or at least not the fourth best two seed. And so now they're facing Illinois, who I think is the strongest three seed. I don't know. I think they're better than Creighton. You know, you look at this since like January, they've had two games where they haven't scored 85 or more points, Illinois. They are just running. I love this team. I had them to win the Big Ten tournament at plus 310. Terrence Shannon, six straight games, 25 or more points. Give me Illinois by double digits. I like this in a blowout.
I like this as well. I think Illinois is playing some of the best basketball in the country. Brad Underwood, 2021, they were a one seed. They won the Big Ten tournament. They lost to Sister Jean and Cameron Krutwick. He said he had to make some changes to his team, be more offensive-minded when it comes to March, and this Illinois team is really hard to stop. And Coleman Hawkins, Marcus Domask, Dane Dange has been great off the bench, so they're a really fun team, and I like them as well to get to the Elite Eight. First time they've been in the Sweet 16 since 2005, and last time they were here, Sal, they went to the National Championship game and played North Carolina, so something to keep an eye on there. Let's go to the next game. UConn taking on San Diego State. This is a rematch of the National Championship game last year. It was a blowout in UConn's favor. San Diego State plus 10.5 in this game. What do you see here, Sal? What do you think? There's any hope for the Aztecs to make a run?
I think there is. They screw everything up, right? I kind of just want to watch UConn do their thing. UConn tried desperately not to cover that last game against Northwestern, but they did. They can't help it. They just roll against these teams, except San Diego State. I feel like enough is enough with them, and I hate that I'm betting against this mini dynasty in UConn, but go ahead and give me the Aztecs and their double-digit points. I think 70 is the magic number. Easier said than done, keeping UConn to 70. But San Diego State's an older, deeper team, and they kind of like it that way. I'm not predicting an upset, but I think Danny Hurley's going to have his hands full.
Yeah, Dan Hurley said this is a team that he wanted to play. He wants to see. He was very excited about it.
And that's always good to say that. Yeah. That always works out.
I did not like that quote, so that got me a little bit concerned there. So it'll be a fascinating game. Yeah, UConn, San Diego State, like I said, a rematch of the National Championship game. So 59 points they scored last year. Maybe they can figure something out. Jaden Ledee has looked great in this tournament so far. Let's track to the future. Future Sal, and look at some of these odds here. Biggest blowout in the Sweet 16. What say you here? And you know, what are you looking forward to here in the Sweet 16?
Yeah, FanDuel's got some nice tournament props, some nice Sweet 16 specials. Pretty good menu all around.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm taking the longest shot in biggest blowout. It's the tightest spread, right? Tightest. I don't mention that other tightest spread. Illinois, Iowa State, like you said. Best offense versus second best defense. I think Brad Underwood's squad puts it all together and scores a ton of points. I'm going 8-1 for biggest blowout. I know it's not at the top three. It's right there at number 8 at 8-1.
Yeah, I like those odds there as well. Let's track to the future for another one of these specials. Worst seed to make the Final Four is a 1-6 seed. What say you, Sal? Do you like the odds here? Do you think NC State is basically the one you're leaving out when you talk about who's going to make the Final Four?
Right. This is a fun one. So 2 is the favorite at plus 240 as being the worst seed, which would jive nicely with what you're hoping for, Final Four weekend. But I'm going to go with 3 as the high. Again, I'm in love with this Illinois team, and you get a nice number plus 550 if they were to beat Iowa State and UConn or Creighton. I don't love them as much, but they could also sneak in as a 3. So give me the 3 at plus 550 as the worst seed to make the Final Four.
I like it. Illinois is a team that if, on any given night, you can lose in college basketball, and I think UConn would have a tough time with that Illinois team. So that'll be something to look forward to. I could be biting my tongue on that. Last track to the future, Sal. We're going to the diamond. Total number of no-hitters during the regular season. Over 4.5 is plus 136. Under 4.5 is minus 178. What say you? Where's the value here, Sal?
You know, it's weird. You weren't born yet, but there was a time when, if you had pitched a no-hitter, you could go into any bar and have every drink paid for the rest of your life, every meal paid for. You were a superstar at card shows. Now they throw trash at you for tossing a no-hitter. They really, it's disgusting. Now, there's a lot of them. So at 4.5, I'm going to go under. The last 3 years were 4-4-9. I think the year they were 9, they were playing with like a Nerf football. No one hit the ball. And I hate laying the big juice, minus 178, but I root against fun. I'm going under, minus 178.
Yeah, let's take the under there. I feel the same way with that. You know, a little weird, wonky year with the nine, but I like the fours under. So there you go. Last thing, Sal, before I let you go, let's do the Tate debate, and it's a simple one. A lot of people upset about this tournament being chalky, and I say this to you, Sal. Upsets are overrated in the NCAA tournament. We actually want the good teams to win. What say you, Sal?
You know, I wasn't saying that Sunday after all the favorites came through Saturday on the money line. I'm like, oh, so we got to get slapped in the face as bettors taking the money line favorites. I'm going to go underdogs. Well, again, Clemson was the only slight underdog to win. So, but no question about it. I'm no fun. I bet the don't pass line. I bet no buzzer beaters. I bet under no hitters, as you just saw. keep the upsets to a minimum. You're right. Couple, maybe a couple this and next round, but let's have ones and twos and Illinois in the final four.
Yeah, I like upsets in the first round, like Greg Campy in Oakland. That's good stuff, but they have to lose in the second round for it to all kind of even out in the end. So, you know,
they should have to sign something that say, hey, we promise we'll go away. We just want to give you a little thrill on March 22nd or whatever.
Yale did this, right? You beat Auburn, you get everybody excited, and then you gracefully bow out to San Diego State in a blowout. That's what you're supposed to do. That's the Ivy League, they're smart. They know what they're doing. Sal, where can we find all your work? And then we'll let you go enjoy your Tuesday.
The D3 and I are on Against All Odds. We'll be picking Thursday games, Friday games, prop bets. We have a lot of MLB futures to get to. And then Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend, Friday a.m. with Seth frickin' Rollins right here on FanDuel TV.
The best, Sal. Thanks so much for being on the show. And we'll see you next week. Thanks a lot.
Good job by you, Tate.
Appreciate you.